I was so blue. Oh, yes, I found you. Oh, when no one could help me. Oh, when no one could do just what you do. So let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, I could never. Oh, never make heaven for my home. Oh, so let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory, glory, glory.
Hallelujah. I wanted to mention that the Brownsville Ministers Meeting is the 26th of this month. And I was thinking about announcing a youth meeting for this year. And the dates I was looking at would be July the 28th, 9th, and 30th. Did we have it on Saturday this past time? We have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Did we have Thursday, Friday, and Saturday? We had it Saturday, didn't we? Yeah. Then the 29th, 30th, and 31st. That would be Thursday night. Friday night, and Saturday. That would be the 29th, 30th, and 31st of July. So if anyone could, you know, if there's a reason we need to adjust those dates, please let me know before I go to the meeting. Of course, it's tentative. I'll just put it before the brethren if they, you know, wanted us to have it, or if that conflicts some date, we'll have to adjust it, so don't do anything until I get back and know that that's an accepted time. Probably we'll have a ministers' meeting in 2011 again. And on the year that we have a ministers' meeting, we won't have a youth meeting. Maybe Wichita will be able to have it for us.
Sister Dolores, that song was meant for me. It didn't only touch my heart, but my sister that passed away a couple years ago, that was her testimony. She lived in Wisconsin, and she went down to the lake. She, first of all, she married a man that had molested her daughter, and that she had backslid, and she wasn't living for God at all, but she always loved God. But she went to, let me get my thoughts together. Anyway, and then she found out, she got rid of him, and then she found out she had cancer. And then she was all alone in Milwaukee. There was no other family there. And she thought she's going to lose her mind. And she went down to Jones Island, which is right there by Lake Michigan, where Brother Benny used to, he always baptized his people in Lake Michigan, right there at Jones Island. And she went down there, and she was going to run her car off the ledge to commit suicide. And that song came to her, and it changed her life forever. And before she died, I believe that she was doing really good. Don't you think, Brother Smith? Yeah. And I just wanted to say that song meant more than just to me, but it also was her testimony. And she sang, when she sang it, I'm telling you, she'd bring the house down. because she felt every word. And I just wanted to get up and thank you for singing that song.
Appreciated that good message today, and you know, it's been 3 weeks since I've been here, and you get kind of negative after being out of church for 3 weeks. And I guess I had a halfway decent excuse last week. The weather was kind of threatening, but the week before that, I know I had a good excuse because Brother Michael Smith knows that I like the Cowboys, and he called me 2 weeks ago about the Cowboy game. He said, "I noticed you weren't in church today," and I said, "No, I said, during the night I woke up and I laid awake and I couldn't go back to sleep." And I said, "I was so sleepy today I didn't even feel like watching the ball games. I sat here and had it on, but I didn't, you know how you feel like when you lose sleep." So I feel like I had a pretty good excuse for missing that that day. But talking about songs, you know, we sing that song, "Take Off Your Shoes, You Are Now on Holy Ground, and Be Thankful for the Truth that You Have Found. You did not come this way by chance, but you were led here by God's hand. Take off your shoes, you are now on holy ground." So I'm thankful that I know the difference in the body of Christ and Babylon, and I'm sold on the body of Christ. You know, a salesman has to have a prospect and has to get attention and create interest, but it has to gain somebody's confidence and create a desire. But if I could have any gift, it would be that I could win people to the body of Christ. But I guess most of God's people are in Babylon because they're not among my neighbors and they're not among my relatives. So I haven't been too successful in winning people. But anyway, I don't usually make New Year's resolutions, but I decided, I've been reading this book. It's called Think and Make It Happen. And it's this man, he was an atheist, and he studied Buddha and Moses, and he said he was so much of an atheist that he was hardened as any communist ever was. So he got to studying the life of Jesus, and this book is based on the life of Jesus. He said nobody could have made up a story of a character like Jesus, you know, that he was so in control of himself, and he became a believer, and so he wrote this book about Jesus. And so he's got one chapter in there, he talks about sleep, and you need at least 8 hours, you know. So I've been in the habit of staying up till 12 or 12:15, and getting up about 7:15. I thought, you know, I'm going to start getting more sleep. So I've decided that's my New Year's resolution, to get at least 8 hours in bed. I take this newsletter from this doctor, Dr. Jillian Whitaker, and I got his newsletter the other day, and he was talking about using that affirmation every day and every way. I'm getting better and better. So I decided that would be a good New Year's resolution. Then I've been reading this book, it's called The Lies We Believe, and talk about the lies that we buy into. Like, one of them was that life is fair. He said that's a lie, that's not true. And he said another lie we buy into is that life is easy, and he said that's another lie. And he, you know, we like to think positive, but he said another lie that a lot of people buy into is that people are good. And he said people are not good. He said people are selfish and self-centered. He said we're self-centered, we're selfish, we're deceitful, we're dishonest. And of course, Paul said, you know, that goes along with the Bible, because Paul said, "I know that in me and my flesh dwells no good thing." So, and you know, Brother Tucker used to say we were born totally depraved. So like Brother Smith said one time, we're born in a pretty low condition. If God don't help us, we're doomed, you know, if he don't lift us up. But anyway, you know, Brother Smith was talking about Babylon. I had an experience about 15 years ago with the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know, they'll come around and give you their magazines, and next thing they want to come in and talk, you know. Well, I didn't know what they were up to, but after so many visits, they're saying, you will accept that Jehovah's Witness is the true church. I said, no, I don't accept that. So here this last few months, there's been some more Jehovah's Witnesses coming by, and I like to read their magazines. They've got some good articles and interesting articles. So usually I just talk to them on the porch, and it was cold this week, and it was a black man and a white woman. I invited them in, and we got to talking about things. He said, you know, we need to come by sometime, have a Bible study. I said, well, I was raised a Baptist, and, you know, thank God, he put some things in your mind that man cannot take away. I said, you know, when I was 20 years old, I was invited to a UPC church, and they showed me that when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues, and of course, they don't believe that. And so he said, we'll come back, go through some scriptures. And so of course, I told him, I said, now look, I said, you're not going to change me, and I'm not going to change you, but anyway, you know, things that are so simple that God just allows us to see that people reject. You know, Jesus couldn't change the Pharisees. He couldn't change, I know there's some good Jehovah's Witnesses, but I know the ones come to my door, he probably couldn't change them. So like Brother Smith said, the light is so wonderful. So I'm just thankful to be here and thankful for all that God has done.
Believe it or not, I know what it's like not to have nothing to say. Feel like you don't have nothing. But I mean, I do. There's times I just think I can't think of a thing in the Bible to talk about. Can you believe that? Do y'all believe me? It's the truth. It is the truth. But this ain't one of them times. I thought since y'all didn't have nothing to say, I'd say something. I was talking this morning about the sevenfold light in the thought I might just give you some scriptures on it. The sevenfold light in the holy of holies. I mean in the holy place, the second heaven that there. I was talking about the temple is no longer a natural building, but it's the church. It's the what did Paul say? Know you not that you're the temple of God? And in Revelations, I'd like to just start there and give a few scriptures on the. I want to say something about the sevenfold light. I was saying that that candlestick is not a natural candlestick anymore. But it's a ministry that has an understanding that can illuminate your mind with a gift of the ministry that, of course, God has to touch. That's God's gift. It's not man's, but God gave it, and it has to work by the Spirit of God. And in the, I believe in the, maybe the fourth, let's see. Okay, in the fifth, in the fourth chapter of Revelations, it says, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So that helps you understand what this seven golden candlestick is. It's the seven spirits of God. God's seven manifestations are revealed in the candlestick. And then if you go down to the fifth chapter, in the sixth verse, it says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. I talked on this in a minister's meeting one time. I'd never heard the Lord. I remember the Lord dealing with me about this. I feel like the Lord gave me this several, many years ago. But I finally got more on it. One time, I talked on it in the minister's meeting. And one of the elder ministers said, Brother Smith, I have never heard anybody use that like that. And I said, well, I hadn't either. But that don't mean it ain't so. That doesn't mean I've never heard it. I've never heard anything on it, actually, other than that's just that it's the seven spirits of God. But I was amazed that nobody really stood against it. But I don't know how well it was received. But I didn't say much more on it. I just presented it and just let it go, and nobody really said much. So I thought, I may see what the Lord, if the Lord deals with me anymore on it. But here are these seven horns. This lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns. Horns are powers in the Bible. As a matter of fact, Habakkuk, I believe, doesn't it say in Habakkuk that he had horns coming out of his hand? And there was the hiding of his power. Let's find that right quick in Habakkuk. Since y'all don't have nothing to say, well, let's see if we can stir up your minds. Hosea, Joel, Amos. Brother Durham said Habakkuk 3 and 4. Said, and his brightness was as the light. Let's back up to 3. Said, God came from Teman, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, Selah. Habakkuk 3:3. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of His praise, and His brightness was as the light. He had horns coming out of His hand, and there was the hiding of His power. See, there's the horns that comes out of a hand. It's the ministry of God. The power, that's where God hid His power in the earth, isn't it? You can't show me anywhere in the New Testament where God ever did anything, but He didn't do it through a man of God, a chosen prophet and man of God that He used to manifest His power through. And so in Revelation 5, it said the seven horns, this lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth. You know, a prophet's called a seer. That's the eyes of God that are sent forth in the earth. That's the vision of the body. These eyes is what gives us vision. I've learned quite a bit about the eyes. I don't know if God just let me go through this or if it's just a chance. Chance happens to all men, so maybe I just by chance run onto this gentle eye molding. I'm about ready to throw it in a trash can, but I've learned a lot about the eye. I didn't know that the eye, I didn't know that your lower eyelids has a gland that produces oil, that out of your lower eyelid there's oil comes out of that lid. And the purpose of that is your upper eyelid has a gland that produces tears. And when you blink down, it puts water on your eyeball. But when it goes back up, it picks up oil off that bottom eyelid and spreads oil back over the top of that. And that prevents that water from drying out so fast. If you didn't have that, if those glands wasn't working, your eyeball would dry up like a prune and you'd go blind. You've got to have moisture in your eye to keep, you've got to have that. Your eye has to stay moist for it to work. The lens over your eye has got to stay in a round shape where it can reflect light. And to me, that's amazing to me, that how God made this human body. No wonder the Bible said a fool said in his heart there's no God. You look how this human body's made, and if you don't believe in God, well, all I can say is what the Bible says, you're a fool. I don't believe any of y'all are fools, but I mean, somebody that don't believe in God is one for sure. But I think about the Bible, you know, how oil is knowledge in the Bible, and the water is a picture of the Spirit. And if you don't have the Spirit of God in your life, you got to have the Spirit of God in your life to be able to see. For you to be able to have a vision, it takes the Spirit of God. And I'm going to tell you, the Spirit of God will dry up in your life pretty fast if you don't have the oil of knowledge to cover it up and to keep it from drying out. And we thank God for the vision. Thank God for the Spirit of God, but thank God for the Word of God too. And these eyes, God's eyes for the body of Christ. The body of Christ has got eyes sent forth into all the earth. Then, if you go to Isaiah 11, which we've all heard, And went over this before, that here's revealed the seven spirits of God. And I know it's been at least 20 years or maybe more longer than that that how God deals with me. You know, it just seemed like I was, one day the Lord opened this up to me. Said, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch would grow out of his roots. That rod was David, and of course, Jesus was the branch that grew out of his roots, and he was of the lineage of David. And the Spirit of the Lord God shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So he lists them there, and it says here, let's name them. The Spirit of the Lord is number one. The Spirit of wisdom is number two. Understanding is number three. The Spirit of counsel is number four. The Spirit of might is number five. The Spirit of knowledge is number six. And the fear of the Lord is number seven. The seven spirits of God were on Jesus. Verse 3 said, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. So, Jesus had the seven spirits of God working in him when he was here on the earth. But he came, like we read in the fourth and fifth chapter of the book of Revelation, these are the eyes of the Lord and the horns of this lamb, and that's where his power is hid. And I just began to ask God, well, where are these resident? Where are these seven spirits resident? And of course, the Spirit of the Lord, I could see easily that the Spirit of God, the Father, he's a spirit of life. That's the Holy Ghost is the life of God that was in Christ, and it's of course the Holy Ghost is the life that's in every one of us. And the manifestation of God's Spirit, the God the Father reserves that place for himself, for his presence and his Spirit to be felt. Aren't you glad you can feel God? Aren't you glad you can feel His Spirit? I'm thankful that these songs, and we come in here and the Spirit of God meets with us many times. I get worried when He don't meet with us. If He skips from meeting with us, I get worried about it. And because I know that we have to have that. We have to have God's Spirit working among us. And we need his covering and his presence and his manifestation, the Spirit of life that's in the Father. It may be, I realize Jesus also manifests himself in the Holy Ghost with God, but I know Jesus knows where that source came from. I know that that's the Spirit of the Father that's working in him, and if it works in us, it's just the Spirit of God working in us. There's not any of us can claim any. We can't have any claim as it being a source of us. But that's God's manifestation in the earth. Thank God He can be felt. Thank God His presence. He sent an angel with the house of Israel when they were in the wilderness by the hand of Moses. He sent the angel of His presence. Jesus went with them, and you could feel God's Spirit with him. He let them feel his presence. Remember when they rebuilt the temple after the return from Babylon, and the glory of God filled the house so strong the priest couldn't even stand to minister. You could feel God there. Moses went up on the mount to get the the Ten Commandments. The children of God, the children of Israel, they felt God's presence so strong it scared them so bad they went back down and said, Moses, you go up. We don't want to be a part of this. I have been before when the Spirit of God was strong that it scared me. I've seen God's Spirit manifest more than just in a great blessing, but I've seen God's Spirit heavy in judgment come in on the ministry a few times. It was scary. You could feel God strong, and you knew God meant business. And it put the fear of the Lord in you. You realized, woe is me, I'm undone. Like Isaiah, when God began to talk to Isaiah and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips, he was scared. He felt that presence of God and God talking and dealing with him. I'm thankful for the Spirit of God that you can feel that presence, that knowing. I don't know if I could be convinced that God was real if I couldn't feel him. Thank God you can feel him. You can feel him so much that he gets in your emotions, that the Spirit of God can take control of the physiology of your body and control your tongue. And every one of us need that. Every one of you need that experience. I'm afraid you wouldn't know if you had the Holy Ghost. I'm glad I'm not a part of a religion that thinks I've got the Holy Ghost when I don't have any manifestation to prove it. Thank God that I don't just have to believe that. I'm one of these people, I need something to know. I need to know soul salvation. I need to know that there's a God. I need to feel him. And I need a witness. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God I can speak in tongues. Every once in a while, God will let me speak in some other language that I never speak in. If you don't never experience that, well, ask God for it. Say, God, let me talk. Let me say something in tongues like I've never said before. And he'll let you talk in some kind of Chinese or Japanese or Mongolian or some kind of something that you ain't never talked in. Indian, Swahili or something. I mean, it may be an unknown tongue, but it'll be a different manifestation that you've ever manifested in. Every once in a while, I need that. Hey, this is not just that, not just me. Your flesh can fool you every once in a while. You can get to thinking, I don't know if this is God or me. Every once in a while, God can give you a new experience. You'll know it, ain't you? And then the Spirit of wisdom. The Spirit of wisdom. Jesus. I say the Spirit of wisdom is resident in Jesus. If you get wisdom, you have to get the mind of Christ. If you get God's wisdom. He is. Let me give you a scripture on this in 1 Corinthians. Just hold your place in the 11th chapter of Isaiah. But in 1 Corinthians the first chapter, in the 23rd verse, it says, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are. God just takes little simple things and simple people and simple minds to prove that the wisdom of this world is foolishness when it's compared to the wisdom of God. And God gives it to babes to confound the wise. Isn't that a mystery? All these great theologians, all these great minds out here in the world, they don't know God, most of them. And God will call fishermen, just old country boys, and you know, all kinds of base, men of base degree, and give them the words of wisdom, the words of life, understanding deep mysteries of God's creation, God's purpose. Verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence, but of Him are ye in Christ. Of Him, God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He is the wisdom of God. God's made Him wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's the mind of God. He's the brains of this outfit, somebody said. Somebody asked you, where's y'all's headquarters? Say, well, it's in heaven. Jesus is the head. He's the CEO of the body of Christ. He has the mind of God. He's the Word of God. The Bible calls Him the Word of God. God gave Him all of these seven spirits were resident in Him when He was here on the earth, and He distributed. And here we are. We know that we are a fulfillment of this. Lights have got to be resident somewhere. You got to put them somewhere. There's got to be a revelation. There's got to be a manifestation of the seven spirits of God, which are these seven lamps in the holy place. And I'll tell you this, they're not going to shine properly until we get a restored church. We just don't have the sevenfold light operating like it operated in the early church yet. It's going to take that. God's letting us get close. We're getting close. We're getting glimpses of it and into it. And of course, remember this, Jesus is our high priest and our mediator. And so he's don't think we can't have any wisdom or understanding. We can get it from Him and through Him. But it's not working in us like it was. I wonder if I did that right. Yeah. It's not working in us like it worked back there. But thank God we've got a high priest. We've got Jesus. He works out in the high priest went out into the outer court. He can minister to us out in the outer court. There's still gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit, the seven spirits of God, God's always had them. And He can manifest His spirits any way He wants to. And I'm just showing you in a divine order of God how this is supposed to operate. And I'm willing to make adjustments on these if adjustments is needed. But I don't think you'll have to adjust the Spirit of the Lord or the wisdom of the Lord. Our even understanding is the next one. I'll give you another scripture that's going to cover many of these in Proverbs 24. I want to, because I think this chapter gives an insight on this. 24th chapter of Proverbs says, Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, for their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding is it established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Get that. Through wisdom is a house builded. Paul said in Hebrews that Jesus, this is Jesus' house. And the psalmist said, except the Lord build the house. So wisdom is building this house, and it's Jesus. He's the one that's putting it together. He's the one that's got the plan. He got the plan from his Father. And he's building the house. And by understanding, is it established? You can't establish anything unless you understand. There's got to be understanding for us to be established, for us to be planted in him. And that's why I say apostles is the spirit of understanding are resident in the apostles. And we've got these seven spirits in these writings right here that are working. The Spirit of God quickens those gifts that they wrote down, and they manifest to us. And you see how an apostle operates and how they work. They plant you in the body of Christ. How do they do that? The only way you can be planted is you have to be established. And you can't be established if you don't have understanding. You've got to understand the Word of God. You can have knowledge all you want to have, but until that knowledge is quickened with understanding, you can't be established in just knowledge alone, but it takes understanding. And the apostles, the gift of an apostle is a gift of understanding, the manifestation that helps you to understand the big picture. They bring the thing together. Their gift just brings understanding. They're not just working on knowledge, but they're giving you a picture. They're giving you an understanding. You get a vision of it. You get a picture of it. And that establishes you. And it takes the Holy Ghost working in that gift, in all these gifts. But when the Holy Ghost quickens you with understanding, nobody can take that away from you. They might throw you in jail. They may beat you, and they may even kill you, but they can't take understanding away from you. You'll have something to sing about even if you go to jail. You'll get to thinking about what God's done for you. I know we don't know much about that, but I know I read about men that suffered persecution for the gospel's sake. And it did not affect them like it would normally affect a man. You know, most men that was preaching the gospel and trusting this Almighty God that can do anything, and he lets you get thrown in jail, most men would say, I've had it, I'm done, I quit. Any God that would let me go through something like this after all I've done for you? Those men, you never heard one of them say nothing like that. But they were singing songs. And they're in the jailhouse. They was rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. Rather, they had some understanding working in them that far surpassed man's understanding. But, and then look, by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with precious and pleasant riches. So, you don't want to discount knowledge. Of course, the more knowledge you have, the more knowledge gets turned into understanding. Proverbs 3. Let me back up over there. I know you've heard a lot of these scriptures, but I'm trying to put them together for you just to see these seven lights that are resident right here in the church, and they're going to become more and more resident and become more and more a greater light. I don't think they're all shining properly right now. I think there's just flickers. In fact, I don't think we really have a seven-flow light right now, other than what the Lord is just letting us, he's touching us with these seven spirits, but we don't have that resident manifestation yet. in a restored church. In Proverbs 3, Proverbs 3:19 says, "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he that hath he established the heavens."